Welcome to the Wisdom Journey. Last time, Stephen looked at the first four of the Ten Commandments. We're back in Exodus 20 today, examining the remaining six. Here's Stephen Davey.
In today's Wisdom Journey, we return to the Ten Commandments given in Exodus chapter 20. We could call the Mosaic Law the constitution and bylaws of the nation Israel, and they form the moral basis for law and order in this young nation. Now, as followers of Jesus Christ today, we are not Israel. The church has not replaced Israel. In fact, the nation of Israel is going to be reconstituted or reformed, and all 12 tribes will be represented in the coming millennial kingdom given to us in the book of Revelation. However, there is much we can learn today from the Mosaic Law, and particularly from the Ten Commandments. In fact, nine of these commandments express timeless, universal, moral absolutes that are based on the character, the nature of God. They're not confined to Israel's law. Now, we've already looked at the first four commandments, and these first four commandments are often called the first table of the law. And they talk about someone's relationship with God. The final six commandments we're looking at today are considered the second table of the law, and they deal with someone's relationship with other people. So let's begin with the fifth commandment here in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Now, right away here, you notice the transition from our relationship to God to our relationship to others, in this case, our parents. And there's a clear connection between our vertical love for God and our horizontal love for our parents or for anyone else, for that matter. In fact, one author wrote it this way: when I have learned to love God better than my earthly dearest, I shall love my earthly dearest better than I do now. In other words, a love for God will produce a better, more genuine love for other people. Now, each of these commandments actually includes a principle of grace. This commandment here protects the honor of the family, and when parents are honored, it brings stability and order to any society, and that's a grace gift from God. Now, did you notice here that God adds a promise that is clearly limited to Israel? He says here, if you honor your parents, you'll live in the promised land. Now, right now, I don't own any land in Israel, and I don't plan to move there just yet. But I can certainly obey this command to honor my parents, so this is timeless. And I can know that I'm pleasing God in the process. Now, for some of you listening to me, it's not easy to honor your parents. Maybe they've mistreated you. Maybe they abused you. Maybe they didn't love you like they should have. Well, let me tell you that one way you can honor your parents is by praying for them. Pray that God will open their eyes to their sin and convict them and bring them to genuine repentance. There is no more loving act that you could ever do than praying for your parents, who in many ways might not deserve your time and attention. Now, the sixth commandment in verse 13 is one that everybody knows. You shall not murder. Now, the reason for this prohibition against murder is found back in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6, for God made man in his own image. Murder is not only robbing a person of the precious gift of life, it's also profaning God's image. We happen to be image bearers. Let me tell you, this commandment certainly includes the image of God in the life of every innocent, unborn child. This law is also infused with grace. It's a reminder that life, your life, my life, everyone's life, is a sacred creation of God, the giver of life. Every life is worth protecting. You see, built into this command is the warning that anybody who murders another person will one day answer to God. Now, here in verse 14, we're given the seventh commandment, "You shall not commit adultery." We're living in a day when adultery is commonplace. It's excused in any number of ways. Well, it's a passing affair, or it gave someone attention they felt they needed. Beloved, this universal commandment doesn't make any excuses. In fact, it lets you know exactly what God thinks of it. Adultery is a direct attack upon the institution of marriage and family, which God established. But like any sin against God's moral law, God can forgive. He can forgive murder. He can forgive idolatry. He can forgive adultery. In fact, he can restore marriages that have been damaged by adultery whenever there is genuine confession and genuine repentance from this sin. I've seen that take place in my ministry days. In fact, I've seen God bring healing to the heart of a spouse who suffered through the adultery of their husband or wife. They saw their spouse genuinely repent, and then they offered incredible grace-infused supernatural forgiveness, forgiving them and restoring their marriage. Now, here in verse 15, it tells us, "You shall not steal." This is the eighth commandment. Now, the principle behind this law is that God owns everything, and as humans, we simply take care of the stuff God graciously gives us to manage. Stealing, then, is an attack on God. We're stealing his stuff. Stealing is really saying, you know, God didn't give that to me, but he should have, so I'm going to take it. Or maybe it's saying God doesn't know what's best for me, and he'd let me have this if he knew what was best for me, so I'm going to act all by myself, and I'm going to take it for myself. Well, this law is God's gracious way of saying we can trust him to give us the things we really need. Not stealing means trusting and waiting on him. Now, verse 16 reads this, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." Now, this ninth commandment specifically has a courtroom setting in view, and this is where a lie can have the most devastating effect on somebody's life, even to the point of bringing about a person's incarceration or maybe even execution. This command, then, is God's gracious protection over someone else's reputation, protection over even life itself. And at the heart of this command, though, is the demand for honesty, speaking the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Jesus himself said, "I am the truth," in John 14, verse 6. And when we tell the truth, especially in difficult situations, we can be sure that the one who is truth is pleased and is standing with us. Now, the final commandment is recorded for us here in verse 17. "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's." Now, this law is designed to stop a sinful act where it starts, in the heart. You see, to covet simply means to desire inwardly. And when desire is misplaced so that it becomes a craving for what someone else has, it becomes sinful covetousness. To covet is to say in your heart, "I've got to have that." You see, covetousness is the central motivation behind sins that we've already looked at, such as stealing and adultery. This law is God's gracious reminder to desire him above all else. Seek first. Seek as a priority the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Jesus says in Matthew 6:33. And all these things, that is, all these things that God wants you to have, will be added to you. Well, after the people heard God deliver these commandments. We're told here that thunder and lightning and smoke and the sound of a trumpet came from the mountain. In fact, verse 18 says, the people were afraid and trembled. They could have spared themselves, by the way, centuries of misery had they maintained that kind of respect for God, that kind of awe regarding the law he'd just given them. Well, we've raced through these commandments, haven't we, in our wisdom journey today here in Exodus chapter 20. I hope you've seen that these laws are not just a bunch of rules imposed by some uncaring God. No, they are gracious protections for his people. And because he is a gracious God, even when we fail to obey him, even when we sin against these moral absolutes, he offers forgiveness and hope. Well, until next time then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was a lesson, Stephen, entitled The Ten Commandments, Part 2, here on The Wisdom Journey. If you missed Part 1, it's posted on our website, which is wisdomonline.org. When Stephen records these lessons, we capture that on video. If you want to watch each one as we release them, visit wisdomonline.org or subscribe to our YouTube channel. There's a link in the show notes. See you next time.